Alrighty, so we have a wonderful beginning on a Rosh Chodesh, which is a new beginning, and we're starting a new Masechet, and we are ready to open up to Masechet Yoma. But before we do that, I would just like to point out why we are going to Masechet Yoma. And this was Mayor Simcha's question yesterday, which I put off till tomorrow, and now it turns out tomorrow is today. I don't know how that happened already, but there we go. So, basically, if our approach is correct so far, and the relationship that we have of Shkolim to Yitzias Mitzrayim is very, very fundamental, because as the Ramban explained, that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the only Hashlam of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is the actual Asiyas HaMishkan, because the Asiyas HaMishkan is the thing that puts us back into the position of the Oveis, and only that when we're chozer to the Madriga of the Oveis to be the Merkava L'Shechina, only at that moment are we considered to actually have gone out of the Avdus and the relationship to the Uma Yisraelam, which becomes so much part of how we idiotically actually define ourselves and start looking at ourselves the way Goyim look at themselves, so that it's the Mishkan and the elements of the Mishkan and the Dava of the Mishkan, all of those things bring us tremendously into Shkolim on every different level. It's marvelous how Shkolim does that. Now, of course, the very next step, after collecting the Shkolim and building the Mishkan, all the Trumas HaMishkan and the Inyanim of the Nedaves that we spoke about, and of course, which was not only in the Mishkan, which we translated into Yehoyada HaKohen, into Yoash, and we traced it over the generations. We did this all in Masechet Shkolim in those short pages. That brings us to the next step. What was the next step after we have the Mishkan? Next step after we have the Mishkan was, of course, the Miluim. The Miluim of the Mishkan, where we had 7 days of preparation, where Moshe Rabbeinu would put up the Mishkan, take down the Mishkan, all preparing for the first day of Nisan, which was the day that was Natal Eser HaTarot in the second year. So, the Hashlama of that year was a 7-day preparation period for the 8th day, which would begin the Avoda and the Mishkan. In the Parsha of the Miluim, which of course is Parsha Tzav that we just recently learned, it says as follows. It closes the Parsha like this. Moshe Rabbeinu does the Avoda for 7 days. He calls over the Aaron Uvanav, gives them the Shlomim, and he tells them, Bashlot Abasar Petach Omoed, Visham Tochlu Oto, Umi Petach Oho Moed Lotets U Shivat Yamim Ad Yom Lot Yimei Miluechem. Ki Shivat Yamim Yimalayet Yetchem. So for 7 days, you have to stay there. Kaasher Asa Bayom Azeh, Tziva Hashem Lasot Bechaper Alechem. What in the world does that mean? We know that the Miluim was a one-time event. It was only at the very beginning of the binyan of the actual Haf'alah of the Mishkan. So what does it mean? Kasher asah bayom hazeh tzivah Hashem la'asot l'chaper alechem. And so Chazal have a Kabbalah. And that is that the meaning of those words is that the same way that the Miluim are 7 days of preparation in order to begin something new on the 8th day. The meaning of Tziva Hashem La'asot L'chaper Alechem is that you have to do the same thing for Yom Kippur. So L'chaper is referring to the Yom Kippur, and I'll explain to you in a moment why this is true. So the La'asot is a reference to any time that you bring a Porah Aduma, you need to do the same thing that you do here, 7 days of preparation before doing the actual work of the Porah Aduma. And L'chaper means 7 days of preparation before doing Yom Kippur. The entire beginning here of Yuma, as we're going to see today, is built around this pasuk. And that's because the relationship of the Miluim to Yom Kippur is not just some drosha of this closing pasuk. If you take a look at the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, you will discover, as the Rishonim point out, that everything done on Yom Kippur are precisely the things that were done on Shmini B'Miluim. So all we do is we reconstruct Shmini B'Miluim every time we come to Yom Kippur. But there's a very good reason for that. because Yom Kippur was Merumas all the way back in the beginning of the description of the making of the Mishkan. So over there we spoke about the making of the Mizbeach HaZav, and if you'll recall, we have this very mysterious pasuk there, which said that Aaron will be Mechaper Achas Bishana. Right? We had no idea what that was referring to, because it was before the Torah told us about the Maisa Egel, and so on. So, in effect, Yom HaKippurim actually is the new beginning of the Mishkan, always. And that's the Kapora that we bring is on, as it says, on the Mizbeach, on the Mishkan. HaShocheinitam betoch tumotam. That is a reconstruction every single year of the Miluim. And it's because of that, the same Shivas Yomim that follows, that begins the Mishkan, follows the Mishkan in a sense for Yom Kippur, and restarts the Mishkan. There's also a deeper reason. And that is that the reason that we need the Mishkan in the first place, as it turns out ex post facto, is because of the Maisa Egel that made it necessary for us to have a Mishkan to take the place of the ruined relationship on Har Sinai, which is why, again, if we just finished learning the parshias, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron he has to bring the par, and that's in order to be Mechaper on the Maisa Egel, and that was the whole story that he told Moshe Rabbeinu last week. How could you do this to me, to embarrass me? I'm sure that's the reason that there's no Shekhinah Sher in the Beis HaMikdash, because of the Maisa Egel. What was the other kapora for the Egel, gentlemen? The Parah Aduma. Tavo ha'em, let the mommy come and clean up the mess that the baby made, which is the egel. So these two occurrences are both merumas in the original miluim. And because of that, ashetziva Hashem la'asot lechaper, we're going to see, is a drasha that refers in many ways to the Parah Aduma, but from Gezeirah Shavah, from the concept of la'asot, where we do something, but it does not a kapora. It's the only thing like that. We actually do all of the Aveda as if it were a carbon, but it's not a carbon lechaper, even though we call it a chatas, and it deals with the human condition. Therefore, the only thing that could possibly follow Shkolim in reality is Yuma. As far as the question of why Rosh Hashanah doesn't come here, as we'll see when we get to Rosh Hashanah, Masechet Rosh Hashanah doesn't have anything to do with Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah talks about the alternative beginnings of years for different purposes, but its focus is on the astronomical data that allows us to define the Moadim, and therefore it comes at the end, basically after we have the din of the Moadim worked out. So it sounds confusing because we keep thinking Rosh Hashanah is about the day we call Rosh Hashanah, but it should not be confusing at all. So Yoma, the word Yoma means the day. And that's called sometimes Yom HaRabbah in the Gemara. Or we also find that this Masechet is sometimes referred to in the Gemara, Masechet Yom HaKippurim. It's not called Masechet Yoma. This is just a short for that special day. Okay, anyway, gentlemen, of course, as you'll recall, what's special about the day is that it's the only time that we talk about the day. And it's the Rambam Paskins, the Halacha, is that it's the Atzmo Shel Yom HaKippurim that's Mechaper. The day is a Kapora. That's why it's Yoma. It's the only time that a day itself has that power to actually utilize the day as if it's an object or as if it's a kapara. So the Inyan of Yom Kippur is called Yoma. Now I think that's a beautiful way to begin because it's a direct continuation of everything we've been doing. Briyas Ha'olam, the human condition, assigning placement, Shabbos, Erevin, getting to Zechel HaMaaseh Bereishis, Inyan Yetzias Mitzrayim, in which Beis HaBereishis becomes Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, taking the Nedoves for the Mishkan, building the Mishkan in Shkolim, and getting to the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, which begin the actual new Mishkan for us every single year. So let us begin. Shivat Yamim Kodem Yom HaKippurim Afrishim Kohen Gadomi Beito Lishkat Farhedrin Umatkinin Lo Kohen Acher Tachtav Shema Ye'arebo Psul. So the first thing we got to know is, in advance of Yom Kippur, we prepare for Yom Kippur. And that takes 7 days, and we learn that from the Miluim, the same way that we prepared Aaron for his Aveda. We prepare the Kohen Gadol, who is the Aaron. We prepare the Kohen Gadol specifically in the same way that we took Aaron away from his home and brought him into the Beis HaMikdash, separating him away from his wife. We do the same thing for the Kohen Gadol. And we bring him to a special place, which is called the Lishkas Parhedrin. We're going to see that that name is a very meaningful name to us, and it's a very dangerous name, and it reminds the Kohen Gadol of what he's up against. Umatkinin lo Kohen Acher Tachtav, not only that, but we keep him on his toes, as the Gemara is going to explain later, because there's another Kohen Gadol who is yapping at his heels. Because if anything happens to him, and he becomes Tameh, and Yera Bo Psul, and this Psul would be, maybe he would be Roeh Keri, or maybe somebody would touch him who was Betameh, and he needs to be kept away from his home for exactly that reason. Because of that, there's somebody else in the wings, waiting to take his place. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, well, you've got to have another wife prepared for him also. Because if his wife dies, he's not going to be able to do the Aveda. Because it says, Shvichiper ba'ado ba'ad beito. So therefore, afisha acheret bat kinino, shema tamut ishto. So he has to have a wife in waiting also, which doesn't mean in waiting. It means she had to be married to him. And we're going to see how we manage to do that by making a marriage, giving a get on condition, which is quite a complicated thing because he's not allowed to have two wives. So both wives need to have a get on condition, which he could then activate. We'll see all of the details in the Gemara. Say the Chachomi to Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, Beito is Ishto, if that's the case that you're going to worry about the death of his wife, I mean, why not be worried about the death of his second wife? Now, of course, it immediately strikes you, well, if that's the case, why did Chachomim say we prepare another Kohen to take his place? Maybe that Kohen will become possible. And they should say Ein lo davar sof to themselves as well. Now, all of that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. There's obvious differences between them, as Tosis points out, which the Gemara doesn't want to utilize. It gives us a different answer, that one of them keeps him on his toes anyway, so it doesn't hurt. But the other answer is that it's really not all that important, because we can always find somebody who's roy to be the Kohen Gadol and just make him the Kohen Gadol, because the Shivas Yomim is not Ma'akev, as we'll see. Okay, so let's move on and see where we learn all of this out from. Tananata. So in Parah, Masechet Parah, we have exactly the same Mishnah. Shivat Yamim Kodem Srefat HaParah. Hayumafrishin akohena sorefet hapara mi beito lilishka she'al pnei habira tzafon mizracha. So for 7 days before the Kohen is going to be burning the parah aduma, we take him away from his home. We bring him to a special chamber. Lishka is a place where he would live, which is al pnei habira. According to Rashi, this means that it is it's built into the wall of the Azorah, in the northeast corner, and it was mamish in the northeast corner. According to Tosfos, if we hold that the Bira is a reference to Mokum and the Har HaBayit, so then it was not in the actual Azara. Okay, but we'll talk about that later. The point now that we want to discuss is that this Lishka had a special name. It was called the Lishkat Beit HaEven, the Lishka of the House of Stone. Why was it called that? Lamanik Roshma Lishkat Beit HaEven. Well, that's because anything that would be done with the Parah Aduma would be done with kelim that were impervious to Tumah. Shekol ma'aseh bichlei gilalim, bichlei avanim, bichlei adama. So we would make these kelim out of dung, out of stone, or out of just clay, but we wouldn't bake it until it got a din of klicheres, because then it would be mekabel Tumah. So these were very primitive kelim, and they would not be mekabel Tumah. Why is that? My time, we don't do that for Yom Kippur. I mean, we're very sensitive to Tumah on Yom Kippur as well, aren't we? By the way, this brings up another issue, and that is that there is yet another reason for the interrelationship between the Yemei HaMiluyim and the Hachana of the Mishkan and Yom Kippur and Parah. It's not simply the Egel. It's the fact that Yom Kippur recreates Kabbalah Satera, correct? Now, at Kabbalah Satera, because we needed to get the Luchos HaShniyim. The Luchos HaShniyim are given on Yom Kippur. There's a sheet in the Gemara that learns out the Shivas Yomim of Prisha from Har Sinai, which means that every Yom Kippur, we are reconstructing Har Sinai, because as Moshe Rabbeinu was there for Shisha Yomim, and before he went into the, we'll talk about the details later, and that prepared him for Kabbalah Satera, which means that every Yom Kippur is a preparation for Kabbalah Satera as well. So one of the crazy things on Kabbalah Satera was that everybody had to make certain that they would not become Tomei with wet dreams of all crazy things. And we're going to turn out the whole Masechet is positively obsessed with wet dreams. And this is from the beginning till the end, until the actual closing. And this itself is part of the other aspect that turns out to be Nizgala in the special issue of keeping the Kohen away from Tuma. So anyway, why then do we, Bedafka, when it comes to the Pora, do we have this wild Hakpada on the Kalim of Tuma, whereas when it comes to the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, we have this wild concentration on the emission of Tuma? How will you explain that difference? Well, it's not. Since it says in the Mishnah of Pora that we would go out of our way to be Mitame, the Kohen who is Sorefet HaPara, which is wild, where we have a kakpoda on Tuma, we would actually on purpose be metame the Kohen in advance, and then we would put him into the mikveh, but we would not wait for Harev Shemesh. He would do the Srefa Sapora on the same day that we made him Tame, and we would title him. Why did we do such a thing? It was Lohotzi Mili Ban Shot Sidukim, Shehayu Omrim B'mu'urave HaShemesh Haitana Aseit. Since the Tzedukim darshan the Pasuk, and they said, we understood when it said Ish Tahar, of course, in classic fashion, that is just almost set up to make a Tzeduki bananas. We say, since it says Ish Tahar, Michlal Shehu Tameh, which is perfect logic for the Gemara, but drives anybody else nuts. So the Tzedukim would say, well, no, on the contrary, it says Ish Tahar means that he cannot be a Mu'ur of Shemesh. So we would go out of our way to drive him even more crazy. Let's make the guy a non-Mu'ur of Shemesh, a Tvul Yom, and we would actually make him Tameh. So we did that on purpose, because they insisted, Shayo Omri Mu'ur of Shemesh Haitana Aseit. Since we did that on purpose, it turned out that people would have a tendency to be Mekel when it came to the Parah Aduma, because they would say, aha, look at this. Whoever heard of bringing something in Bedafka in Tuma? So it must be that this thing is not very chamur. We could be Mekel on Tuma. So because of that, we went to the opposite extreme. And we started creating all types of Ma'alot Parah, in which Parah has the most chamur dinim when it comes to the issues of Tuma of anything, more than Kodesh. And because of that, takin al rabbanu klei gilalim, klei avanim, v'klei adama, in order that they should be totally impervious to tuma, so that we're creating a tuma-free zone, which is why we called it, basically calling it the Lishkat Beit HaEvan was the equivalent of calling it the tuma-free zone. And that reminded the Kohen and everybody that anything to do with the Pora Aduma of our tremendous hakpad on the Chumrah of tuma. And why does it say that this chamber was in the northeast, specifically, Tzafona Mizracha? Because even its location was meant to remind the Kohen of the Avoda. Because since the Para Aduma is called, remember, Parat Chatat. Why is it called Parat Chatat? Because the Torah says Chatati. But it isn't really a Chatat. It isn't even brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. It's basically only a Kedushas Domin. So how in the world are we going to call it a Chatat? So it comes to be merames to me that there's elements of Chatas in it, as we'll see when we get to the Dinim of Pora. So if it were a real Chatat, where would we be bringing it in the Azor if we were actually going to bring it as a carbon? Bitzafon. So the Kohen, when he's dragged to the Tzafon side of the Azor, thinks to himself, what the heck am I doing here? Ah, because my Pora that I'm about to be involved in 7 days is a very chomor thing that the Torah compares to a chatas. And when I will go out there onto Har HaZeitim, and I'm going to be preparing this Pora Aduma for burning, I'm going to be sprinkling its blood El Nochach Pnei Ohel Moed. What entrance to the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan would be called Pnei? Pnei would be the east. Because of that, we put it on both sides. Put it to the north, to remember Chatat. We put it to the Mizrach, to remember Penei, and this way, Ki Hechi Dela Hevi La Hekeira, and that way, it will be a reminder to him of what the space is of his involvement. Tumah-free, pure Pora thoughts, which revolve around Chet, Chatas, and the opening to the Ohel Moed. Very beautiful. Now, that is still a little bit up in the air, and I'll tell you why. Because the question is, when it says we were Metameim, what does that mean? So many Rishonim say it means, well, we touched him with the sheretz, and then we put him in the mikvah. Tosfos over here has a fascinating approach. Tosfos says we would never be Metameim with the Tumah D'oraisa. All that we do is we have other Kohanim touch him. So, you see, since we have already made a Chumrah in Pora that goes, anybody who is Tor for Kodesh is still considered to be Tomei Midras for Pora, so if the other Kohanim touch him, so then they're Metameim. So if they're Metameim, we need to put him in the mikvah. But if he comes out of the mikvah, he's still a Tful Yom. And because of that, we're very Machmir. And what are we very Machmir? That other Kohanim are considered to be Tomei for Pora. Now, does that sound like something of a tautology to you? It is basically an incredible circular logic, right? But that's all part of this very concept of the paradume, is it not? So, put that in your pipes and smoke it till we get to part two, to learning Pora Bezrat Hashem. And meanwhile, we're moving on in Oalos today. Okay, we said, where is this Tzofin Mizrach located? Apnei Abira, but what is a Bira? There was a specific place in the Harabayit which was identified as Bira. So now, according to Tosfos, that would mean that it was not in the Azorah. Rashi specifically says it is in the Azorah, even though the place Bira, but maybe this place was facing that Mokum Harabayit. Rish Lakish says, no, the entire Beis HaMikdash is called a Bira. And remember, that's like Shushan HaBira. It is the capital. It is the center. Where do we find that? Because David refers to the Bira, the Beis HaMikdash, which he had purchased from Megoran Aravna Yevusi, HaBira Asher HaChinoti. This is the Bira that I have prepared. My son is going to be building it. So there's obviously a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. But note that it is also involved in the idea of HaChana, which is, of course, the entire idea over here, the miluim, the shivas yomim, preparation, which of itself is an extension of the concepts of Masechet Shabbat, and are going to end up becoming absolutely central in the following Masechet Beitzah, after we talk about the specific Yimei HaKedusha. Minani mile. So now let's get to where do we know that we are supposed to be mafresh to Kohen Gadol from his home before Yom Kippur, and before the Pora Aduma. So here's our first approach. Omar of Minyumi, Bar Chilki, Omar of Minbachasi, Baridi, Omar Rabbi Ochanan, Omar Kra. It says Beferish in the Pasuk right there at the end of Parshas Tzav, that after the Shivat Yimei Miluim, so the first day of the Miluim, where we get all of the mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, Kasher Asaba Yom Hazeh, Tziva Hashem La'asot L'chaper Alechem. Just like we have this day of Hachana, poor Moshe Forman missed all of the beautiful Hagdama over here to the Masechet. Oh, yeah, he's going to have to listen to the recording. All right, so Kasher Asala Yom Hazet, Bayom Hazet, Siva Hashem Lasot Lechaper Alechem. So there's obviously, there was only one time in history that we did this. So how in the world could it say Kasher Bayom Hazet, Siva Hashem Lasot Lechaper Alechem? That must mean that it's a reference to the future. Where do we have an asiya that is not a kapora? And where do we have a kapora? So an asiya that's not a kapora is, surprisingly, the Pora Aduma, where even though the Torah calls it a chatas, but the asiya is not a kapora. There's no zrikas adam l'chaper, there's no asiya l'migdash, and so on. So therefore, la'asot means when we come to do the Pora, l'chaper means when we come to do Yom HaKippurim. Both of these things are reconstructions of the Miluim, because this is what allows the Shechina to be Sholcheni tam betoch tumosam, that's the achas b'shona, therefore it's the equivalent of the original hakom of the Mishkan, the yom in which notel esra atarot, and in both cases it's a kapora on the egel and a reconstruction of the Kabbalah Satera, which we'll see later on again, is another possible moker for how we know Shivas Yomim we need to prepare. Okay, says the Gemara, but how do you know that it means both of those things? It's obvious that I could not say that Shiva Hashem La'asot L'chaper means only Pora and not Yom Kippur, because the word L'chaper cannot be a reference to the Pora Aduma, because the Pora love but kaparagi. There is no kapora directly from the actual maisa of the pora. Gentlemen, I do want to point out to you that the miluim that we prepare for and the karbonas, the special karbonas that were brought as karbon chatas that we have that began with the nesiyam at Shmini miluim, are considered to be karbonas that are karbon chatas that do not come for any chet. And that's called chatas nachshon. The Pora Aduma is also a chatas that does not come on any chet. It's exactly the same situation. And what it does come for is on the actual human condition, so that it's a kapora on the essence of what chet means. And that is true about the Pora Aduma as well, in terms of its dealing with the nature of death, which comes from the Mekor of Chet, and with the Maisa Egel, which reconstructs that Mekor of Chet. And this is another reason that the Kasher Asa B'Yom Hazeh is so fundamentally alike, whether you're talking about for the Achon of the Mishkan, which was the result of the need to be Mechaper on the Egel, the Pora Aduma, or Yom HaKippurim. So how do we know that it's not all about Yom Kippur? What makes you think that it's a reference to the Pora if La'asot and L'chaper could both be a reference to Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur also has strange elements to it. It has asiya that is not there for Kapora, and it has special korbanos that are there for Kapora. And if we put the two together, we have all of this complex asiya with the keteres going in and out and changing your clothes and so on and so forth, plus bringing those korbanos. So maybe it's all referring to Yom Kippur. Ah, says the Gemara, you have a good point, but it can't all be referring to Yom Kippur. Why? Because we have a gzeira shava. Yolev tziva tziva, ktivacha, tziva Hashem la'asot l'chaper. And by the Paradum it says, Zot chukata Torah asher tziva Hashem. No more. So just like the word asher tziva Hashem is a reference to the Pora Aduma, so too here by the Miluim, it's a reference to the Pora Aduma. Let me remind you, of course, that one of the things that we were doing in order to allow the Aveda for the Pora was the Pora Aduma. And in actuality, the parsha of the Pora Aduma was actually said together with the Miluim, as the Gemara points out in Gittin. So therefore, just like here it's a reference to the Pora, so too Tziva is a reference here by the Miluim to the Pora. And just like over here by the Miluim, the reference of the Tzava is an act of Prisha Shivas Yomim, before coming to the eighth day, Af Lahalan Prisha, it must mean a Prisha of Shivas Yomim, before coming to the eighth day, and remember that this is in the context of Maisa Bereshis and the eighth day of Asiya. Yes, the Gemara, but couldn't the Gzera Shava itself also be referring to Yom Kippur? The Ema Tziva Tziva of Yom Kippur. Dichtiva Yaz Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe in Achremot, that there is an Asiya Asher Tziva. So maybe that's all referring to Yom Kippur. Now, Tosfos asks the obvious question of why would we need all of these different references to Yom Kippur, and what in the world would we do with all of the La'asos and L'chaper? So Tosfos has a very long analysis of the Gemara, in which he shows that in the same way we're going to, in a few moments, discuss the question of whether L'chaper might be a limud that all korbanos coming for Kapara require Hachana of Shivas Yomim, And also, we might have thought that only the karbanos of Yom HaKippurim require Shivas Yomim, or only the Asiya of Yom HaKippurim require Shivas Yomim. Kamashmalan, all of the dinim would be referring, we would learn out from these three psukim. Okay, but it's not, I'm not going to go into a daf long tosfos now, but just you should know that all of these questions are handled. What would be the point of tziva, lasot, lechaper, and what are the various ways in which the Gemara is proposing that are the alternatives for using these psukim? Answers the Gemara, tziva is a reference to the Pora, not to Yom Kippur. You know why? Because the tziva that it says over here, tziva Hashem la'asot. So the tziva comes before the asiya. And the tziva Hashem by the Pora Aduma is the same thing. The Ku Pora Aduma and so on. So that was the asiya. The asiya comes after the tziva. But when it talks about Yom Kippur, it says that the Vayas Aaron Kasher Tziva, over there, the Tziva is coming after the Asiya. And therefore, Yom Kippur's Tziva is a different Tziva. And Ein Danin Tziva Del Acher Asiya Mi Tziva Delifnei Asiya. Okay, says the Gemara. But maybe Tziva would be referring to the Karbonas in general. So then we could say that Lechaper is Yom Kippur, and Asiya might be the other inyanim of Yom Kippur, but that wouldn't make sense because we would know the Karbonas from the Tziva that refers to all Yom Kippur. So we could know all three things. We could know Karbonas, we could know Yom Kippur, and we could know Pora. Because it does say, B'yom Tzavoto et B'nei Yisrael, so B'yom Tzavoto is a reference to all of the Karbonas. So maybe that's the point. La'akriv et Karbonehem la'Hashem b'har Sinai. That is Savoto. Perfect. Tziva. Therefore, we now know all Karbonos require Shivas Yomim. Well, I mean, that doesn't make sense. One says Tziva and one says Savoto. I mean, shouldn't we learn out Tziva from Tziva and not learn Tziva from Savoto? Whoa, since when does that make a difference? That's a small difference. Umay nafkamina, are we not learning the Psukim in Tazria Mitzora this week? And does it not say in Tazria Mitzora, Veshav HaKohen, Ubo HaKohen, from where the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says that Veshav HaKohen, Ubo HaKohen is a Gzereshava? Even though it's totally different words. It's a Gzereshava because it basically means the same thing. Well, Tziva and Savoto is a lot closer than Shiva and Bia, isn't it? And the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says, Veshav HaKohen, Ubo HaKohen, Zoe Shiva, Zoe Bia, and you're allowed to make a Gzereshava between them. Says the Gemara, yes, of course. But that's only where you don't have an alternative. Over here, we're asking, shall we learn tziva to mean b'yom tzavoto and al korbanot? Or should we learn tziva to say, asher tziva Hashem lasot for por aduma? I say tziva tziva is better than tziva tzavoto. Heichad hika d'damila, we will always be ma'adif b'd'damila yafinu, we'd rather go to the closest match. Okay, then you said Lechaper refers to Yom Kippurim. But how do you know it refers to Yom Kippurim? Maybe it refers also, as Tosis learns, to the Kapora of all Korbanas. Why limit it to Yom HaKippurim? Well, what do you mean? I mean, how can you mean that? What do you mean? How in the world would we know what Kohen is going to be bringing a particular Korban in order for us to keep him 7 days beforehand? That doesn't make sense. Mi'adin and I Kohen mitrameh deboy le'prisha? And it's not a practical reality. Well, why not, says the Gemara Amri, halam alo. Why isn't it a practical reality? Remember that the kuhuna was split into mishmarot, correct? And every mishmar got a week at a time, twice a year, to do the Aveda. And not only that, those mishmarot were split themselves into the different days of the week. So we know exactly who is going to be Oved on what day. So a week before, take that Beit Av, and keep them all in one of those malonites that they use for corona. No, throw the kohanim away, get them out of their house. It turns out that it's all a preparation for the Beis HaMikdash. So why not? Niboy le prishul kule beit av. And that doesn't make sense because, look, we're going to be done in dover shekavua lozman, midover shekavua lozman. I mean, Yom Kippur has a specific time as opposed to Karbonas. And the Shmini Limiluim has a very specific time. Everything was being done preparing for a time, and that is to exclude karbanot. Karbanot is like all the time. Okay, fine. So not karbanot, every karban. How about regalim? How about the karbanot that we're going to bring for the various holidays? So why can't it mean, why only Yom Kippur? So is it a kapora? Yes. We always bring chataot on the regalim, for the musfei regalim. So they should require also shivas yami. Nah, because dani davashinoi pam achas b'shana. Remember, that's the whole beauty of Yom Kippur. V'chiper alav aharon achat b'shana. All right, so we're going to only look at the thing that is a once-a-year event from something that was a once-a-year event in history, which was, of course, Shemini Lemiluim, which excludes regalim, which is not pamachat b'shananinu. Okay, there's a lot of regals. Choose one, and then that one regal will be the same as Yom Kippur, so choose one. Ve'ema regal echad. Now, don't try to tell me, what do you mean, regular? You can't choose one at random. I mean, we wouldn't know which one it is, and therefore the Torah wouldn't be telling us any usable information. So, how could we possibly choose a regular? I'll tell you how. It could either be Pesach, because Pesach is obviously more important because that's the beginning, right, of all of the regal. So maybe because Patach Bar Katuv Tchila, maybe it's Sukkot, because Sukkot has so many different mitzvahs. I mean, it's got the Sukkah and the Lulav and the Gnisach HaMayim and the mitzvah of Arava. I mean, it's like, whoa. So maybe that's where we need to have Prisha. And you would figure out which one. I mean, obviously, we'd have to engage in a couple new dapim that don't yet exist in order to figure out which one would be more chashev. Or kulach l'derech zu. I mean, you can see it now. It would be a lot of fun to make up those dafim. But anyway, but we would, in the end, we'd figure out which one it was. Don't tell me we couldn't figure out which one it was, right? So, all right, fine. The real answer is, don imprisha shiva l'yom echad, because the miluim was 7 days preparation for that big bang of a one day, which was the shmini. And therefore, we're going to do the same thing over here. So we need a prisha shiva l'yom echad for Yom Kippur, 7 days for one day Yom Kippur, from the Shivas Yimei Amiluim for the Shemini, but we're not going to learn out Shivas Yimei Prisha for a 7-day holiday. That doesn't match. So ain't done a Prisha Shiva la Shiva, be Prisha Shiva la Yom Echad. Okay, fine. So how about Shemini Atzeres? Shemini Atzeres is perfect. It's just like the Shemini Lemiluim. It's also called Shemini. So we could have 7 days of preparation during Sukkot for Shemini Atzeres. And then we have Shivas Yimei Miluim preparation for Shmini Lemiluim. I think it matches beautifully, actually. So maybe that's what we should do. We should have Shivas Yomim Kodem L'Shmini Atzeres, Mafrishin Koin Mibeset, right? Don't you like that? And that would be a priest of Shiva L'Yom Echad. No, it's not a good match. Because Danin Davar She'en Kedusha Lefanav, Mi Davar She'en Kedusha Lefanav. En Danin Davar She'yesh Kedusha Lefanav, Mi Davar She'en Kedusha Lefanav. Shmini Atzeres has 7 days of Yom Tov, which has Kedusha before it. Shmini Lemiluim did not have 7 days of Yom Tov. It only had 7 days of Miluim before it. And therefore, the days don't match, because we're not going to ask you to prepare 7 days for the 8th day that follows 7 days of Kedusha. Oh, what do you mean? Just the opposite. It's a Kal Vachomer. It's even a better match. I mean, if even a Dover She'en Kedusha Lefan of Bari Prisha, even Shmini Lemiluim, which we didn't prepare for by having a gradually building Kedusha towards this grand finale of a Yom Shmini Lemiluim, but we do have that on Yom Shmini Atzeres, so for sure, Davar Sheyesh Kedusha Lefanav requires even more of a preparation than the Shmini Lemiluim. It may be a Kal Vachomer, but it's not a solution, because it says Beferish in the Pasuk, Kasher Tziva Bayom Hazeh. Tziva Hashem la'asod. Hazeh means kazeh. Look, I want a match. A perfect match. I'm not interested in Kal Vachomers or anything else. I want you to find the other day that's going to be like today. And that day is not Shmini Atzeres. Later on tomorrow, we will see alternative solutions to this. Later on in the Masechet, we may find alternative sources for the entire idea of Prisha, which will bring us even closer to Kabbalah Satira.